Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. We thank you for listening to AFR. Hope you had a nice weekend. Joining me to co-host today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Here, Planet Venus. It's springtime.
And just where you're at?
Yeah, it's springtime. We skip winter here.
Well, we have new listeners all the time, just to explain the Venus reference there. Mm. Ed and I are on Earth,
yes.
And we put Fred in social distancing in a different studio, which we call
Venus.
Venus.
Yeah. Studio Venus.
I have a second job, too. I'm on asteroid watch. Because there's an asteroid head towards you guys, and I just want to be here to warn you.
I thought the asteroids would come, like, from the outer planets towards Earth. You're in Venus.
Yeah.
All you're doing is watching for the explosion when one hits Earth.
And I'll feel sorry.
Yeah.
Now, there is an are you being serious? There's an asteroid headed our way?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you're telling us... It's like a doctor.
It's not an extinction
You're
event.
Telling us there's no hope.
No, it's not very big,
and it's not. And it's unless not going to hit
unless it hits your house.
Well, that wasn't any bigger. It would have taken out the rest of the neighborhood.
You call me over for this, Fred? You just took out the garage. What do you mean? Call me when you have a real asteroid. Oh my word! Our meteor, whatever they call it.
We can turn really dark, can't we?
Well, all right. So, thank you again for listening, Ed. Tell folks how they can join us on, as you call it, that there internet.
That's right. If you want to watch us do radio, all you have to do is go to Facebook or YouTube and type in, search for Today's Issues and click through, and you can watch us. And one of the benefits for Facebook, at least, is that Brent Creeley, our producer, will post the stories that we discuss, so that if you want to go a little deeper, you can actually read these stories for yourselves. And a lot of people want to go a little bit deeper. And then on Facebook, there's kind of like a little kind of a group of folks who are regulars, and you can interact with them. They're from all over the country, and you can make friends on Facebook. I hear that that's what a lot of people do on Facebook. They make friends.
Yeah, that's how it works, so I hear. All right, Fred.
You're really into that, huh? Huh? Just really captivated you.
You know, I've never done Facebook. I've never been, and I don't criticize people who do. There's
right.
a lot of wonderful uses for it, and I understand it, but I've just never done it. But I just had too much. I didn't need something else to add to my
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I'd like to get off it just because the amount of time. You know those little red dots?
Like a drug. You know those? Are you addicted to it?
No. I'm just saying. You know those little red dots, like on your phone when you have unread mail messages.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many of those because they're just all. I don't know. It's just like you said. It's becoming.
You better have the time for it.
Yeah.
If you're going to be able to do it, I know I've mentioned this story before, but about 5 years ago, I had a friend of mine from high school that I saw out, and he said to me, "Hey, I've tried to friend you like 5 times, and I thought we were, I don't know, what's going on? With something, you know, I didn't even," and I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I really don't. And then I found out that it was because of our AFA Ministry Facebook page. My picture was on there. And the fella thought that this was a personal Facebook page, so I don't know why he wasn't friended by the AFA page. I don't even understand a lot of that, but it was just like, okay.
He thought you were ghosting him.
Yeah, and I've had 2 or 3 people tell me that. Is that what you call it?
Well, that's one of the things you say. You're ghosting me.
that means
you got to learn. You got to learn what all the kids are saying.
That means that must mean you're not adding me to your page.
You're ignoring me.
Okay.
Like when you if you ever walk past someone and don't say hi, sometimes they'll say, "Hey, you ghosted me."
Gotcha.
In other words, you're a ghost.
Gotcha.
Didn't respond.
I've had people tell me that I've done that too. Driving. Hey, I waved at you. Huh?
Yeah.
You don't understand.
You ignored me.
Yeah, you understand. Well, maybe the sun was in my eyes. Okay, or maybe right. maybe I didn't have my glasses on. If I don't have my glasses on, I'm driving. You're a blur, man. You're a blur.
Well, we're glad to hear that you're driving without your glasses.
Well, it's not that bad. But anyway. All right, Fred, start us out with some good news this Monday morning. Besides
a
meteor.
He's got none.
Besides a meteor attack.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's talk about a story that Facebook and Twitter and the mainstream media does not want you to hear about. Now, I know we were busy with Share-a-thon last week, and so we didn't get a chance to talk a whole lot about this on today's issues. So, just in case, a little bit of background. Hunter Biden, son of former Vice President Joe Biden, who now wants to be President of the United States, back some time ago had a laptop. Guess it was giving him trouble. So he takes it to a laptop repair person. But Hunter Biden apparently doesn't go back and pick the thing up for a long, long time. So it becomes the possession of the laptop repair guy. He starts looking what's on the hard drive, the emails, and he finds some mighty interesting stuff. Stuff like Hunter Biden saying he's getting an email from a guy in the Ukraine who happens to be working for Burisma, that energy company where Hunter Biden sat on. And he's thanking Hunter Biden for setting up a meeting with Hunter Biden's dad. Now, this is during the time when Joe Biden was vice president. And then the next chapter in all of this is that Hunter Biden is having conversations with a Chinese interest. And Hunter Biden is setting up this entity, this company, for introductions. In other words, you pay me money, Chinese government, Chinese company, and I'll get you in touch with some very powerful people. Now, and so what we're finding out slowly through many backdoor channels, because all of these media don't want you to hear this story, is that there were shares in the company that were for someone identified by Hunter Biden as the big guy. And we believe the big guy was his daddy, Vice President Biden at the time. So I've got a bunch of audio I'd like to play for you. Peter Schweitzer of the Government Accountability Institute talking.
Go ahead. Yeah, excuse me for interrupting, Fred. But
sure.
Before we play this,
okay.
I do think this question needs to be answered because there are people new to this story.
Mm-hmm.
The laptop that belonged to Hunter Biden, the son of Joe Biden, which was taken to the repair shop in Delaware.
Correct.
Where he lived, at least part-time. How is it that a computer repair store guy can just decide on his own to start releasing people's personal information from a laptop that was brought into his store? That just sounds unethical to me.
Well, it became his laptop. After a certain number of days, who knows, 60 days or 90 days, if the person doesn't come to pick it up,
okay,
then it becomes his laptop. Now, he turned it over to the FBI, but he made a copy of the hard drive. And so...
But why is he really... Again, folks, please don't defriend me or whatever. I'm asking questions that need to be answered to set up this story, because otherwise people are going to have this is just politics.
I'm going to be fair here. I'm going to be fair. I think the shop owner is a Republican. I think he's a Trump supporter. Fred, correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
So I think he thought, well, why hasn't the FBI said anything? This is important. It could affect the election. I'm going to go ahead and release it.
Well, with Rudy Giuliani.
Yes, I think he contacted Rudy Giuliani.
I do want to be fair to say this is coming from Trump advocates are people right. who want to see Biden lose.
Yes.
But it doesn't make the information wrong.
True.
Okay. So in setting up the story, so that's and the question is begged, if these emails on this computer show business transactions between Vice President Biden, his son representing him, with Chinese government officials, why has this been explored, or at least the FBI done anything about it?
Right.
I guess you could, or inform the Congress, the Oversight Committee, that this is a possible problem, which we would have heard about had that been done.
Now, I will also say, Fred, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that the what the FBI is saying is they were investigating what's on this laptop, and they don't comment while an investigation is ongoing. Is that correct? Or
That is correct, but there's another kind of chapter to the FBI involvement with this. There is going to be an investigation by a Senate committee. One of the things they want to find out, how long has the FBI had
True.
This information? Did the FBI under Christopher Wray, current director of the FBI, have this information when the Democrats were impeaching President Trump?
Right.
Because you'll remember the impeachment was about the president's contact with the Ukraine.
That's
all
true. Right?
This is all part of the soupin' that we're dealing with here.
Okay, so back to the clip we're about to hear. Set it up again.
All right. This clip has to do, it's from Peter Schweitzer. He's with Government Accountability Institute. The China deal had several people involved, along with Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden seems to have been the point person, but he had affiliates working with him. And what you're going to hear, here is Peter Schweitzer talking about the 26,000 emails given up by former Hunter Biden associate, implicating both Hunter and Joe Biden benefiting from this multiple international relationships. Cut number 8.
What those emails show, the 26,000 show, we're working our way through them, is a wide net of using the Biden name, using access to the White House, Hunter serving as the pipeline to the administration as a means to help their clients and gain clients. The names that come up in this are the Chinese, the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Kazakhs. It's a veritable United Nations of corruption. And what it demonstrates is that Joe Biden, as Vice President of the United States, was a center point. It was almost the planet around which these business activities moved.
So the picture that we're getting from this information from Schweitzer and others who are going through these emails is that Hunter Biden, son of Joe Biden, was setting up a company of sorts that offered a pipeline to then Vice President Joe Biden. And there was influence. You paid for introductions. If you became a client of this Hunter Biden, and I think it was called at one point China Entrepreneurs Club. And so you paid this club for introductions to Joe Biden. And obviously, being Vice President of the United States, that's a powerful introduction.
Also, these people would have known that there was a good likelihood that Joe Biden would be the Democrat nominee for president, and there was a chance that he could become president of the United States. Right. So you're sort of getting in on the ground level.
Yeah.
If I can borrow from a you know,
pyramid scheme.
Yeah, pyramid scheme or an upstart company. You know, here's the let me ask you two guys this question. I'll direct it to you, Ed, first. And we should have Abe here maybe to, as a lawyer to answer this. Number one, do you know if it's illegal for a son of a vice president, of a sitting vice president, to be appointed or accept an appointment to a board of directors from a private company in a foreign country, and then they can pay him as $50,000 to $80,000 a month, even though he has no expertise in the area, like this energy company in Burisma.
Burisma.
Uh, we all know what's going on there. They're buying influence from the vice president's son. But is there anything illegal about that?
I don't think there's anything illegal about Hunter Biden.
It looks bad, but
getting that kind of position, I think they are supposed to file forms with the government. That can't be a secret position that they get simply because it does look bad. And for the purpose of ethics, they have to, you know, fill out the forms, and that has to be transparent. I think that if and obviously, if you're going to pay someone like Hunter Biden that much money without any experience, you're hoping that he might put in a good word, or as it increasingly looks with these emails, hoping to get a maybe an introduction to Joe Biden, who as vice president might be able to help in certain ways. And if you are doing that in order to buy influence, I think then that becomes illegal. And if money actually goes to the vice president, not
yes.
just his son,
yes,
that also, I think, is illegal. I'm not an attorney, but from what I've read, those last two things would be illegal. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's where these emails come in, where Hunter Biden is asking for a certain percentage of the receipts to go to, quote, the big guy.
The big guy being, everybody thinks who's reading them, is talking about his dad.
Correct.
And don't forget that Hunter Biden went with his father.
Yes.
To China on Air Force Two.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently did business dealings over there. At that time.
No, Tim, it was just an entrepreneur's club. I mean, that's kind
okay.
of, it's an entrepreneur. Somebody was an entrepreneur.
You know what? Here's the thing. Here's what I would ask Democrats, and, you know, they're always putting Trump supporters on the spot. Do you believe, do you agree with what he tweeted? Do you,
right.
Okay. Here's the question I would ask if I could ask, of the Democratic leadership, the Biden campaign, because the people in a lot of the folks in the mainstream media, they aren't interested in this story. They hope it goes away. Joe Biden's calling it a smear campaign. But those questions that we just are very reasonable questions that need to be answered. That is Hunter Biden, is this email authentic? And I haven't heard the Biden campaign reject the authenticity of the emails. And they're emails that go back several years, and they are emails between Hunter Biden and business associates around the world. And they don't seem to be, if you were going to concoct or make up this story, it's impossible.
Right.
It would be impossible to do with the sophistication of something like that that would be required, and you'd be busted immediately.
Right.
And those pictures that were on there, which are unflattering, of Hunter Biden. So I'm just saying that these are real emails. So the question would be, do Democrats care if the son of the vice president or the vice president of the United States were making money off China while he was in office?
Yeah.
Does that matter? Because I just want to know, what would you say, what would you think? What would be the answer to that if you were able to get an answer?
Well, I think they, first
besides
of all...
Besides just saying it's a smear campaign.
Yeah, I think they
that
would...
That doesn't answer anything.
Yeah, I think they would just deny that it's true. I mean, you can't defend it if it's true. I mean, because it's illegal. And, but I would say, I don't think it's true. I think it's...
Smear campaign.
It's
Rudolph Giuliani,
yeah,
Trump's henchman.
Right. So you can't trust any of this
okay.
stuff. It's right before... It's an October surprise. This is trying to get off the issues and Trump's corruption, and I think that's their only, and without the mainstream media covering it,
yes,
it's an easy dismissal.
But what is true in this is that the mainstream media and big social
yeah.
is refusing to cover this.
No, Biden is their guy, and they're all in, and they know it's potentially illegal. Well, it's illegal if it happened the way the emails are describing, but they don't care because they got to protect their guy for 14 more days.
Right.
Am I right?
No, I think that's exactly what's going on here. And let me just, like we said, we wanted to be fair. We all have a tendency to I always heard someone once say, we human beings tend to judge other people on their actions, and we judge ourselves on our intentions. So you did this. I don't care what your intentions were. I'm offended. I judge myself on, well, I didn't mean to hurt you. And we all also do the same thing with candidates that we like. So we tend to excuse or defend our person because we agree with their policies. And I think that we Republicans have done that with Trump to some extent, and Democrats will do that with Biden. They'll say, listen, you might get someone at a party to say, I don't care if he made a little extra money. The guy defends abortion, and I'm going to defend
it. I guess that's what I'm saying, Fred, is I think the Democrats, if you were to give them truth serum,
right,
and they could speak bluntly instead of just deflecting and hiding under the desk right now about this whole question that Biden calls it a smear campaign, they would say, Jed just said, yeah, okay, so what? Vice President Biden made some money while he was VP from China. I don't care. We got to get rid of Trump.
Right.
And we can't hurt Biden by talking about this story right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what Twitter and Facebook, that's the approach they're taking.
Yeah.
Because they're denying access to a story on the New York Post, one of the largest newspapers in the world, which details all these emails and the alleged corruption. Well, corruption, if it happened like the emails seem to say it did. And so I think, but once you start down the road of it doesn't matter, then you get into somewhere down the road, you're going to look at your political opponent and you're going to say, you're doing this. And they're going to say, well, you didn't care about it when your guy did it.
Right.
And of course, that goes on all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think is going to... Another thing is the FBI's role in this. I hate to even speculate about that because I don't want the FBI on me. So anyway, but it wouldn't surprise me if the FBI, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about
it. It depends. I mean, as in any big, large bureaucracy, it depends who got the laptop and who was in charge of
looking at it.
Yeah, if it's Peter Strzok. He's going to go
bleach it.
Yeah, put it in the closet. We'll figure out what to do with it.
The Potomac River.
Yeah,
just conveniently drop it off the bridge.
Oh boy.
All right. I'm so anyway, sorry. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah. Well, I think a story that is coming out of this is Facebook and Twitter. They're huge platforms. And they are deciding not to go with this story. And White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows addressed that this morning. Cut one.
I can tell you that as we look at the level of activity that we're seeing with Twitter, if there's any interference in the election, it's by Twitter and Facebook right now and trying to put a particular narrative out there. They're going to have not only a problem with the American people, but they're going to have a problem with Congress, as this will bring Republicans and Democrats together to make sure that they once and for all are held accountable for their actions.
Yeah, and this has come up before.
Meadows?
Yeah, it was Mark Meadows, Chief of Staff.
It doesn't sound like a North Carolinian.
He's been in Washington.
Like he's from New Hampshire or something. Anyway, go ahead.
But no, both Democrats and Republicans have both voiced concerns with the power that Facebook and Twitter have to control information. And what may come out of this is a splitting up of their empires. That's a possibility.
It's not just their power. It's also their motive.
Yes.
Because they are using their power, it appears very clearly, to influence the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on here is the whole world is against President Trump. And
yep.
The whole world is watching each other to see if they're going to do anything to hurt Biden's chances. And then they're going to go after it. You know what I'm saying? So inside Twitter, inside Facebook, they're all looking at each other, all the employees and the executives going, you know, we got to stay together here.
Yeah.
And get Trump out. And so that's what's going on. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios.
We're learning amazing things through these Hunter Biden emails, through his email server. We have information about Hunter Biden enriching. It's not just Hunter Biden enriching himself. It's the entire Biden family, and it's now linked to Joe Biden directly.
We'll also talk with guest Leah Thayer Pritchard of Operation Ordinary. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
When it comes to choosing a college, campus visits are important. But 2020 has made it tough to tour your top picks. At Liberty University, we understand, so we offer a variety of visiting opportunities. Tour campus from home with a virtual tour, or visit campus for a few hours for a daily campus tour. Dig a little deeper with Experience LU, a single-day event where you'll tour campus, meet with faculty and staff, and sample on-campus dining locations. Pick your perfect visit by texting VISIT to 49596. Again, that's VISIT to 49596.
Jonathan Rempel is a fourth-generation farmer growing crops on land just north of Sutton, Nebraska. He's also a supporter of President Trump, and Mr. Rempel proudly flies Trump flags from his tractor and combine. The other day, he was taking his kids to school when he got a call from the volunteer fire department. Someone had set fire to that tractor and combine. Two semis also set ablaze. Harvest is in full swing, and that makes the fire even worse. A lot of folks wondering if those Trump flags might have had something to do with the attack. Let's hope those responsible are brought to justice. Meantime, the harvest goes on, and that means the Rempel family needs our help. A GoFundMe page has been set up, and if you'd like to donate, go to my website, toddstarnes.com. And be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern. You can also download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred, we thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. President of the United States, Donald Trump, is crisscrossing America, Fred.
He sure is.
Surviving on, I guess, 4 hours of sleep and a Big Mac a night.
Typically normal for him.
Good night. How does he do? It's exhausting watching this guy travel and speak rallies every night.
And he doesn't speak for 15 minutes. I mean, he just
no,
goes on
they have
and
to
on.
Pull him off the stage. It's amazing, the stamina and the energy that this fella has at his age. Meanwhile, back at Biden Batcave.
The Biden Batcave.
The Biden Batcave. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's time to shut it down for the day.
We're putting a lid. No more Joe today.
Now, putting a lid is a term used by reporters to say by the campaigns themselves to say the campaign will not be doing any more events today or having any more
interviews.
So, Joe, that's the posture that the Biden campaign has taken. They are, I guess, prepping for the next debate. When is that, Fred?
Thursday night on NBC.
22nd.
Yep.
Where and who's going to be moderating? Hard rating.
Well, it's going to be under the control, basically, of NBC. And NBC's White House reporter, Kristen Welker, is going to be the moderator.
Who?
Kristen Welker.
You familiar with her?
Yeah. If you happen to be watching the daily White House briefing with Kayleigh McEnany.
Right.
Kristen Welker is often the one you will see. She kind of has a staring face. She her eyes just stare
a
at you.
Scary with face?
No, staring.
Staring.
Yes. She's wide open eyes, and she stares at you as she's asking the question of Kayleigh McEnany. Anyway, there's a bit of controversy over Kristen Welker, and here's why. It has been found out that Kristen Welker is a longtime Democrat. Comes from a Democrat family. Her mom and dad have...
Shocked, I tell you.
Making thousands of dollars in donations to Democrats, including Joe Biden. In fact, when Barack Obama was president of the United States, Mr. Mommy and Daddy Welker were invited over to the White House to help, I think, Obama celebrate a birthday or something of that nature.
Can they not find somebody to do these debates or questions that is neutral or at least not overtly involved in politics from the left?
Well, I just got three things to say to you.
Okay.
NBC. So there'd have to be someone at NBC who fits the criteria you just outlined. And
maybe
apparently
they can't,
there
maybe they can't find anybody.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they could find anybody who would be unfair. I mean, who would be fair and unbiased.
Well, the sister network there, MSNBC, they have a new employee. Maybe she could be fair and unbiased.
Oh, I know. Go ahead.
Lisa Page, Peter Strzok's girlfriend at the FBI. Remember, they were both fired?
Yep.
She's now working at MSNBC. Peter Strzok's busy these days being a professor at Georgetown. And that's how it works.
Well, all right, regardless of who's, quote, moderating the debate on Thursday night, where will it be again? Anyway, I don't know where it's going to be.
I'm looking at the in Cleveland, Ohio. Nope.
It's Belmont University in Nashville.
Yeah.
Okay, Belmont University in Nashville.
Yep.
Here's what I would do.
That was
do.
The first one in Cleveland.
Here's what would be my opening statement if I were President Trump. I would say, what's your name?
Kristen Welker.
Yep.
Kristen, I will just tell you that I am unequivocally opposed to white supremacy.
And so it better not come back up.
You
think she's going to bring that up again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they'll bring that up again. If I were President Trump, I would, at that point, just sigh and look down, and just because I mean it's so ridiculous how this he's condemned. I mean, he has to condemn it daily, and then they don't believe him. Anyway, I tell you what. In all seriousness, I think that this is a very important debate for the president.
Mm-hmm.
I think he needs to take the posture. If he were listening to me. To not just to be as calm and cool as he possibly can. That's hard for him.
Right.
That's not his personality. His personality is combative and in a setting like that.
Right.
And I just don't think that's what he needs to do this time. I think he just needs to, and if he wants to, just answer the questions answer the questions by saying what it is you want to say to the American people. That's what Biden did. What Biden did last time. And if I were him, I would pound the economy. I would say, look, folks, we were doing great. We had the best economy we've had in so long. And all Americans, including African Americans, Hispanics, whites, Asians, everybody, we were all enjoying prosperity. And then the virus hit.
Right.
And it caused us to be able to have to shut down things and basically stop our economy dead in its tracks. And that wasn't anybody's fault. You could say it like this. That wasn't anybody's fault here. Maybe it was China's fault.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anybody's fault here. We did the very best we could. I'm not a king. So we had to leave most things to the governors. And they're trying to do the best they could. We worked with them to provide them with everything we could. I'm just saying, this is how I would lead. And I would say, we're turning this economy back around. It's going to come back. It's going to come roaring back. But if you elect Mr. Biden over here, then it's going to stall out. That's what I would say. That's the message that I would want to be communicated as the overall theme of the night for Trump on Thursday. If I were him,
I hope he has to be very well prepared. He has to be disciplined. He has to answer this coronavirus, this COVID. He has to do a better job answering the attacks from Biden on COVID, on the pandemic.
You can't get scatterbrained.
You cannot get scatterbrained. Now, what's hard for the president in maintaining his discipline is that he has been treated so unfairly. He is so frustrated by the fact that the mainstream media, big social, will not cover the Hunter Biden, this email thing, will not go after Biden on Antifa. He gets so frustrated that the media has lobbed softballs to his opponent that it's hard for him not to try to shoehorn those things in. And what you have is the moderator saying, Mr. President, you're not answering the question.
Mr. President.
And that looks bad. And I don't know how you get your message out when that's happening.
Yeah, but I think the president did a better job last Thursday night, that town hall he had with Suzanne Guthrie.
Yes.
Also of NBC.
That needs to be his demeanor on Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. Now, okay. You also had an indication of kind of the attitude of the questions. Guthrie took 20-25 minutes of a one-hour town hall to attack the president, and she did.
I mean, disgraceful.
Yeah. But he did a better job of handling that than he did in the first debate. So we'll wait and see what happens. I think it's going to be one of those attacks. You know, I have the list of topics that are going to be discussed. Fighting COVID-19, American families, race in America, climate change, national security leadership. I mean, it's the five topics you know it's going to come up. I don't know why Joe Biden is taking 5 days off to prep for this, because it's going to be real easy on him. He just has to agree with the moderators.
Yes, that's right.
That's all he has to do.
And the president also needs to do a better job on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
It looked to me like in the first debate, the only other actual debate, he did not look prepared for that. It made him look like he doesn't believe in science. What he needs to say is, yeah, the climate is getting warmer. The question is, are human beings responsible for that? And let me tell you something that other scientists are saying as well, because I do believe in science. They are saying you can't go back to the Stone Age, which is what Joe Biden wants to do. Then he needs to start attacking Joe Biden's Green Plan and the far left and talk about the destruction of the economy. He needs to say there are other scientists saying we don't need to do that. So I would ask you, Vice President Biden, do you believe in science? Yeah. I mean, he's got to turn this around, although it's hard when it's two against one. And that's what will happen on Thursday night. It'll be President Trump against former Vice President Biden and Kristen Welker. That's just the way it is.
Well, I think the fracking question is going to come up again on the climate change. And it may surprise you, but Joe Biden got his facts wrong when he was asked about that last Thursday night by hard-pressing George Stephanopoulos at ABC's town hall. George Stephanopoulos says, clarify where you stand on fracking. So Joe Biden says, I'm not going to stop fracking, that's for sure. In fact, Joe Biden said, I got the endorsement of the Boilermakers Union, and these are people who make equipment for fracking. That's what Joe Biden told the audience last Thursday night. Turns out that's not the case. Here's cut number two.
The Boilermakers overwhelmingly endorsed me, okay? So the Boilermakers unions endorsed me because I sat down with them and in great detail with the leadership exactly what I would do.
I knew that there was no endorsement given, so we were quite surprised. And then our phones start blowing up and everybody was calling, so it was quite a surprise. Joe Biden has nothing in his green energy plan. The new green plan has nothing for the Boilermakers.
Right.
So we have to do what's best for our members, and you have unanimous support for Donald Trump from the northeast area section of the states.
So that last voice was John Hughes of the Boilermakers Union saying, no, we haven't endorsed Joe Biden. In fact, we're all in for Donald Trump.
Did Facebook or Twitter fact check?
No, they missed out on that
one. I'm not sure I understand.
Why don't you make that up?
I'm not sure I understand why the Purdue football team would be recommending
involved
anyone.
Here?
Yeah, the Boilermakers.
You'd think they got their own problems with Ohio State and Michigan on the schedule, right?
That's right.
You get involved in endorsements.
The Boilermakers are joining the Fighting Irish.
What is he talking about right there? Boilermakers. Boilermakers Union. What is
the Boilermakers Union, they represent companies that make heavy-duty equipment that's involved with fracking. And what Joe Biden was trying to say in that, hey, they understand what I'm trying to do. They understand I'm not going to try to destroy the fracking industry.
Wait a minute now. He's at a debate on national television with the moderator, George Stephanopoulos, who's worked for the Clintons.
Right.
Yeah.
He says that I have the endorsement of the Boilermakers Union, right?
That's right.
Then the Boilermakers Union leader comes on and says that we don't know what he's talking about. No, yep. He doesn't. Right. Is that right?
That is right.
Yes.
Okay, but Biden had said he sat down with them.
Yes.
And worked out. Is that what he said?
Do you want to hear it again?
Well, and let me just say this. Biden was saying was that he sat, I believe he probably did meet with the union reps, and then Biden left with the impression that they were okay with him. So that's why he said, but he didn't have their endorsement. Yeah, you can go ahead and replay it.
Cut number two.
The Boilermakers overwhelmingly endorsed me, okay? So the Boilermakers unions endorsed me because I sat down with them in great detail with the leadership exactly what I would do.
I knew that there was no endorsement given, so we were quite surprised. And then our phones start blowing up and everybody was calling, so it was quite a surprise. Joe Biden has nothing in his green energy plan. The new green plan has nothing for the Boilermakers.
Right.
So we have to do what's best for our members, and we have you have unanimous support for Donald Trump from the North.
Any one thing that Biden has done on these exaggerations and or lies, and there are many of them, President Trump would be crucified for any one of them. It would be a scandal that goes on for weeks.
Right.
If what you just heard, and that's the way it happened, if Trump has said, I've been endorsed by the...
By Planned Parenthood.
Or whoever. I've been endorsed by whoever, and then I met with them, I've been endorsed with them, they overwhelmingly support me. And then it comes out that said group goes, we don't know what he's talking about. Can you imagine how the media would say Donald Trump lied today about his endorsement from
the AFL-CIO?
Yeah, and if this man can't tell the truth about something so fundamental and basic as a meeting with a group that he says endorsed him and they say he didn't, how can he be trusted to be?
Right.
You see how this goes?
Yeah.
Especially
if, let's say he claimed that, let's say President Trump claimed that he was endorsed by the AFL-CIO, okay, big labor union, American Federation of Labor, Congress of Industrial Organization. Not only does he claim they endorsed him, the leader comes on and says, not only did we not endorse him, we're in favor of Biden universally, because that's what the labor union had said for the Boilermakers Union.
Yeah.
He said 100%, it was total universal support from Boilermakers for President Trump. So it's two untruths. I'll be nice. He didn't get the endorsement of the Boilermakers, and the Boilermakers absolutely do not support Joe Biden and his green plan. So to your point, Tim, how does he get away with that? It is, once again, the mainstream media being an extension of the Democratic Party.
I can just tell you, and that this is an overall general observation, this Trump derangement syndrome, which permeates all of the media and all the social media giants, and Hollywood. And it is, that is a groupthink, and using it's bad for your a democracy if you're not going to have independent journalists critiquing both sides equally.
Yes,
it's bad, but I don't know what you do about it, because these big tech companies and this and the liberal media. Well, I know what you do about it. You can get alternative voices like we are, for example.
Right.
But the mainstream media is going to have to. It's going to continue to decline in terms of people who watch it and read it, if they continue just to be advocacy groups, because when you're unwilling to be equally critical and curious about statements on both sides, because you want one side to win, because if Trump gets reelected, it's terrible, then they've lost all perspective, I guess I'm saying.
Right.
But I don't think they care that they've lost all perspective, because I think they're on a mission. All these people are on a mission to bring down President Trump, and it must happen, or Bruce Springsteen goes to Australia.
Right.
Not on a tour, but to live.
Right. I think the mainstream media is lost. And the exception would be Fox. The mainstream media is lost.
Why?
They won't ever recover from this, because like-minded will hire like-minded. They will continue down this path, and their percentage of viewers and people will continue to shrink. Fox and whoever begins to arise and says, we will do what the true journalists used to do. We're going to criticize both sides equally, and we're going to do true investigative reporting. That organization will begin to grow, because people are going to spend their time getting out of the media what they want out of the media. So what do they want out of the media? If it's just an echo chamber, then you will have MSNBC and CNN. The people will watch who want an echo chamber. I want to hear reinforced what I already believe. If there are people out there still who want honest, good, hard-hitting journalism that's fair, that criticizes both sides, all sides equally, then people will look for those kinds of outlets.
I do both. I want to watch Laura Ingraham, and she and I agree 100% on everything,
right,
just about, or Tucker Carlson or whatever. I enjoy those programs, and they do reinforce whatever.
Right.
But I also want to hear alternative. I want to hear people on the other side and what they have to say, because I want to understand how they think, and so I can contend with their arguments.
Right.
Or at least understand.
But there has to be an explanation.
But TDS
for
why, is just.
Yes. There has to be an explanation for why CNN, MSNBC, some of these others, why their share is shrinking. And the explanation, I think, is that people don't want to hear that one side trumpeted.
I personally think on a business level, if President Trump doesn't win, CNN may go out of business.
That's true.
Who are they going to complain about? Because they get their viewers from Trump hating.
Yes.
And if JR's shot and killed,
who's going to watch Dallas?
Who's going to watch Dallas?
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're listening to, you think, probably 50, 40 and under don't understand that analogy, probably.
It was an old nighttime, primetime kind of soap opera. And J.R. Ewing was the villain, and everyone tuned in to watch it. I never watched it. I don't remember what night it came on, but they tuned in to watch to see if J.R. would get what he had coming to him.
Yeah.
And then one, he got shot and killed.
Right.
One episode.
Well, he wasn't killed. He was shot.
Yeah, he was shot.
Sue shot J.R.
Okay.
But anyway.
It was the last episode of the season. It was on Friday night.
Friday night.
And they left you hanging all summer.
Fred was a big fan.
And it was who shot JR?
Yeah, but you don't want to kill JR, because then who wants to tune in?
Right.
And
so
what you're saying with CNN.
If Trump dies politically, I'm saying CNN is, if I were CNN, I'd go ahead and hire former President Trump. You know, do a couple shows for me.
Oh, my goodness. Huh? You know what? The ratings for that would be insane.
Yeah. I'm telling you. All right, Fred, we got 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes left. Well, if Joe Biden does not win the election, He's going to go into the police advisory business on how to deal with criminals. And he last Thursday night, he put his first nail in the platform on this one. He said police officers, in order to avoid violence, when they're facing someone violent, and instead of shooting where most police shoot in order to stop the criminal, Joe Biden says, aim for the legs.
He didn't say that. You got a quote? I got to hear this.
Yeah. Well, I don't have an audio for you. But
why not?
I can.
Because he probably thought you'd believe him.
Yes.
So what did he, you mean at the debate? Yep. I bet we can find an audio of it if it was at the debate. It wasn't a debate. It was a town hall. What did he say?
With his friend George.
Well, here's
the quote.
Okay.
Quote, there's a lot of things we've learned, and it takes time, but we can do this, Biden said. You can ban chokeholds. You have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. Instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg.
Okay, that is an idiotic thing to say. Number one, what did he say? What was the third thing he said? Instead of the first thing you do, what did he say?
Instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg.
First of all, no police, first thing they do is shoot to kill that I've seen in any of these incidents. It's usually escalated by the criminal refusing to obey the commands of the cop.
Yeah.
And then they get into a fight, an altercation, and bad things happen. So that's a false narrative, if you want to, about police work, generally speaking.
Right.
Now, the other thing is, shoot the leg. Is that what he, did he really say that?
Yeah.
He's got it.
You got it?
Yeah, okay, that's Brent Creeley, our producer, who's not on crack, but he's a crack producer, has found that for us. Go ahead.
Do this. You can ban chokeholds. Beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. De-escalate. So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg. There's ways you have to do more background checks in terms of...
Okay, now, listen, almost everything he said there. I'm in favor of police departments reconsidering the use of chokeholds. That's fine. I'm okay. I'm not unreasonable. What was the second thing he said? Oh, de-escalation. Right. Police are usually trained in trying to de-escalate. Mm-hmm. So that's just a red herring. But this idea, listen, when someone comes at a police officer and it's clear that he means to do the police officer violence, he's got a knife in his hand, or he's going to try to take the gun away, or he's going to assault the police officer. If a police officer thinks his life is in danger, they are told to shoot to kill. Because if you don't, even if you are able to hit someone in the leg, they can still take your gun away and turn it on you. So,
but you're telling me the vice president of the United States, who wants to be president, it doesn't understand is something as simple and basic as you.
He's never shot a handgun.
Nope.
You can't. Shoot the leg. Why don't you say just shoot the gun out of the person's hand? That only happens in Hollywood. Okay, that's why they tell him to aim for center mass, and you empty your gun. All right, if you're going to kill somebody, you kill them. You shoot for the center, the mass, the abdomen, the chest area. You don't shoot its finger off.
Because it's you or him.
That's right.
You want to go home to your wife and children?
That's right.
Or you want to play, you don't, shoot them in the leg, nice guy?
You don't let that man reach you.
But I mean, the thinking on the part of, and the lack of understanding on the part of a fellow who wants to be president. Is he going to implement that as federal law now? Are we going to go, is it going to be the Shoot for the Leg Act?
Sweep
is
the that leg.
What, I'm Joe Biden. I support the Shoot for the Leg Act. We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.